I'd like you to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. So pull out your Bible, please. Philippians chapter 4. And we're in a series on renewing your mind, and we're focusing this week on fear. God is going to come even today and help to begin to shake off some fears, shake off some strongholds. He's going to begin to help us in overcoming fear. And we're going to turn to Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, down through 9, and then picking up in verse 13. So open your Bible, follow along. We're going to be pulling out a lot of references from this passage. You're going to want to see what God is saying to you today. Philippians 4, beginning in verse 4, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." All right, let's just pause there for a second. Can you picture what it's like when the body of Christ rejoices? Just get that in your mind for a minute. The whole church is just rejoicing always. And again, I say rejoice. You got that in your mind? Can you see in your mind's eye what it is for you to be rejoicing? What does it look like for you to be rejoicing? It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I'll say rejoice. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take about 30 seconds. We're going to obey the Bible. We're going to rejoice, just like it says twice there. And what's going to happen in those 30 seconds is some strongholds are going to begin to be broken. Some fears are going to begin to fall off from us right here in this room. God's going to come and begin to visit us in a special way. We're going to obey the Bible. He's going to come and begin to break through some of these fears. So in the next 30 seconds, we're going to begin overcoming right now. So I don't know what it's going to be for you. See what it's going to be for you. But I'm sure it's going to involve some shouting and some clapping and some jumping, rejoicing. All right, everybody up. 30 seconds. Here we go. Rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. All right, you can take your seats if you can. Philippians 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything." Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And then jumping down to verse 13, "I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Overcoming fear. Philippians chapter 4. Now, we all experience fear. Everybody here experiences fear. There are some really common fears. There's like the fear of snakes. I want to show you a long snake. If you don't like snakes, don't look at this, okay? But I want to show you a really long snake. All right. Now, we all have some fears, and they are actually a God-given mechanism in us to have fear. In fact, if we didn't have fear, we'd be foolish, we'd be reckless, we'd be dangerous. And so God gives us an ability to do some risk assessment and be able to respond appropriately. And so having some fear is not the issue. It's when fear has us that we get in trouble. It's when fear begins to grip our lives. It's when God is pushed out by the fear that comes in. It's when we begin to be bound and we begin to be limited by the fear that we have inside of us that's gripping us. It's when fear begins to take over the agenda in our life and call the shots. It's not a case of having fear. It's when fear has us. And the Bible says that Jesus, on the very first day of his public ministry, stood up in a synagogue. He read the scripture and he says, God has anointed me to set the captives free. God has anointed Jesus to let people get out of jail, get out of bondage, get out of those places, in fact, where fear has dominated and fear has driven and fear has taken us to places of captivity. Where we don't just have some fear, but fear has us. And God is saying even this morning that he is here. That in fact Jesus, the liberator, is walking up and down these aisles, walking up and down the rows right now to begin to set some of us free from a fear that has bound us. That in the next minutes, in fact, strongholds that have been brought upon our minds and our lives by demonic spirits are going to be broken in the name of Jesus. That in fact, in the next few minutes right here this morning, Jesus is going to come and begin to deal with some traumatic memories and thoughts and break fear off from us just like that. It's going to be a new season because of Jesus in this place today. He's touching some very particular needs today. I believe, Ro, where's my friend Ro? Are you here someplace, Ro? Ro, right there. Hi, Ro. God is saying it's going to be a new season for you in overcoming fear. I was praying. He said, Ro, Ro's going to have a new day in fear. There's somebody here that at 10 o'clock or so, about 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning this week, you got the news from the medical people and fear gripped your heart. God is saying he's going to break that off from you this morning. There's a mother here that's been, I can hear in the spirit, you've been praying as a mother, you've been calling out to God, and you said, God, I didn't know it was going to be this hard to be a mother. God, I didn't know that I was going to have all these worries about my kids. I didn't know I was going to get gripped with fear for my own kids. Listen, mother, God is going to come today and help you and begin to set you free from gripping fear in your life. It's going to be a new day for you. Jesus is going to come and do what he said. He's going to set captives free. And he's going to do it as we begin to look right here in Philippians chapter 4. And he's going to begin to show us out of these verses some of the weapons that God has given us in overcoming fear. And as we begin to take them up, as we begin to wield these weapons, we're going to find new victories in overcoming fear. And God's going to help us just like he promises. So let's begin to look at these weapons and let's begin to pick them up and begin to use them even today. The first weapon that we find is faith. The first weapon is, in fact, a faith relationship with Jesus Christ, a faith in God that begins to start a new day for us in terms of fear. In fact, if you look at the verses we read, every verse except verse 8 mentions God, the Lord, Jesus Christ. Every one of them. The Lord is near in verse 5. We have this in Christ Jesus, it says. It says God is here to help us. Now here is the point. This is not some self-help session here. This is not a do-it-yourself, self-improvement kind of deal. This is by the grace of God, and it's when we put our faith in God that we begin to release the victory to overcome fear. It's when, in fact, we're in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again for us. It's when we begin to walk and talk with Him that we have new breakthroughs in terms of fear. It says that this is done in relationship with God. And this is not just some magical kind of thing where God is our servant. It's not some spooky kind of thing, well, God's going to do something. No, it's going to be walking with Him. It says in verse 5, the Lord is near. That in the midst of my situation, I have this awareness of God being with me. That I'm not alone in this. That I have a relationship with Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Helper. And He's going to walk with me through this. And because of that, I can overcome the fear that would grip my heart. It's not, again, just some kind of magical, goofy kind of thing. You heard about the little boy who was terrified of the dark. He had fear. It gripped him. He didn't like the dark. This little boy was working with his mom in the kitchen. One night they were working away, cleaning up, and mother said to the boy, said, listen, son, would you go out on the back porch and get the broom? I left the broom out there. I need it in here. Just go to the back, get that for me, would you please? So he goes to the door. He looks through the window of the door to the back porch, and it's pitch black. He can't see anything. So he's afraid, right? So he comes back to his mom and he says, Mama, it's dark out there. I'm afraid. I don't want to get that broom. And she says, listen, Jesus is out there. Jesus will help you. No problem. So he goes back, opens the door a crack and says, Jesus, hand me the broom. Now, sometimes we treat God like that. You know, like He's, you know, if I get in a jam, He's going to somehow bail me out. Listen, it's much more than that. It's a walking and talking relationship with God where we can say, as it says in verse 5, the Lord is near. He is with me. He's in me. He's through me. And as I trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I begin to come through a new place of fear. I go through it with Him. And so listen, if you haven't trusted Christ yet, listen, make today the day. Make today the day that you call on God. Make today the day that you put your faith in Christ as a personal Savior. Come to this place in the Bible where you are in Christ. That's what it says here. That you're in Christ. That your life is hid with Christ in God. That you're walking in Christ. That you have a relationship in Christ. And Christ is in you. Make that step today. And God's going to begin to bring a new level of overcoming fear in your life. Another weapon that we pick up is here. I find it in verse 6 as we're going along. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, petition, then it says, make your requests known to God. Does it say that in your Bible? Three different references right there to prayer. Prayer, petition, and requests. And it says, here's this weapon that you pick up to overcome fear. And it's a weapon of prayer. It's a weapon of petition. It's a weapon of speaking your requests to God. And we pick this weapon up as a way to overcome fear. When Donna and I were newlyweds, we didn't have anything. We were about to start having little babies. We didn't have two nickels to rub together. We were in our little nest, our first nest. It was a little one-bedroom apartment. In that one-bedroom apartment, there was a little cork bulletin board kind of a thing in that apartment. And I took a 3x5 card, and I put it in my manual typewriter. Does anybody remember what that looks like? I put it in my little manual typewriter, and I put it in there, and I typed out from the Living Bible right here. It says, don't be afraid about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your troubles, and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. I put that 3x5 card on the bulletin board, and Donna and I started our life on that card. That's how we address the fears that would come against us. That's how we came against when we didn't know if we were going to make it. That's how we came against being a mom and a dad and a husband and a wife. That's how we came up about getting groceries in the house. That's how we came about addressing the issues of life. We came to that bulletin board, looked at that card. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your troubles and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. We began to stir that up over and over again. And I'll tell you, in our life, we went one other place in this praying and telling God our trouble. Donna and I started practicing this prayer. And when we would get into a real jam, when the fear would get to a certain level, when the temptation to feel like we can't make it got to a certain place, then we would kick our prayer life into the next gear. We'd start praying in the Spirit. We'd start praying in tongues. We'd start speaking in tongues. We'd start stirring up spiritual language. It became such an obvious thing that we have a few family, you know how you have family jokes? We have a few family jokes about this. The kids always remember a time when Donna and I were traveling up through California. I was driving ahead in a truck. She was following along in a car. I think I had one of the kids. I had Andy with me, and she had Bethany with her. We got to this really bad part of the road. We're trying to go up over this mountain, and the temptation to fear is there. The temptation, you're not going to make it. The temptation, something's going to go wrong. And so we started speaking in tongues and calling on God and praying, and the kids laugh about it to this day. There's mom and dad, you know. They just think that's the funniest thing they ever heard in their whole life. You know, mom and dad just calling on God right there in spiritual language in front of everybody, you know. And over again, Donna and I would kick it into the next gear and say, it's time to pray because the temptation to fear is near. And God wants us to overcome. Listen, we got over that mountain in California, and we've gotten over a lot of other mountains. God hears and God answers prayer. And when you have a temptation to be entrapped in fear, and fear begins to attach itself to your thoughts and minds and emotion, it's time to get the weapon of prayer out. It's time to call on God. It's time to speak in tongues. It's time to pray. It's time to tell God what your requests are. It's time to get Him involved in your life right now. And today, you may need to pray and let your requests be made known that you could overcome fear at a new level. That's the weapon that God has given us. And then there's the weapon of gratitude. The weapon of gratitude. It says in verse 6 that not only are you to pray, but you're to have, as you pick up this weapon, another weapon in hand, a new attitude. And this is the attitude of gratitude. In my Bible, it says right in the middle of verse 6, with thanksgiving. Do all of this, pray, begin to use these other weapons, but with an attitude of gratitude. Come with thanksgiving. Now, let's be clear about this. It doesn't say that you're thankful for all these predicaments you're in. You're not thankful for the mess. You're not thankful for the things that would bring fear. You're not thankful for the snake. That was a joke. You're not thankful for those things, but in every situation. Come on, does it say that in your Bible? In every circumstance, in every situation, in the middle of the thing that would tempt you to fear, you come with an attitude of gratitude right in the middle of that. You see, the opposite attitude is the attitude of insufficiency. The attitude, well, we may not have enough. Well, I don't think I'll make it. I don't think I'll be able to do this. This is more than I can handle. The attitude comes in of lack. The attitude comes in that we don't have enough. I am not enough. I can't do it. I can't get over this mountain. I can't get through this valley. I can't make the next thing. I can't do it. And that's the opposite of gratitude. Gratitude sits down and says, God, it looks like a mess, but right in the middle of it, you are good. I'm going to thank you. You have saved me. You're my healer. You're my deliverer. You're my help. You never run out of power. You never run out of strength. I'm going to thank you because you provided everything I need. You're with me right now. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. I come with gratitude to you right now. Turn the tide of today because I give you thanks. Pull out that weapon And right in the middle of your pickle, begin to give thanks to God, and He begins to chase fear away from you. There's something about gratitude, that sense of sufficiency in God, that's incompatible with the bondage to fear. There's something that's incompatible when I'm thanking God and I'm grateful to God. There's something incompatible with that and fear dominating my life. And then I pick up the tool, I pick up the tool of truth. It's the first word in a list that we have here, beginning in verse 8. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true. It starts with truth. Whatever is true. Now, what's the opposite of true? False or a lie, right? So one of the things that happens with fear is that lies get attached, that untruth gets attached, that we start believing something that's not true, and it leads us to fear. So truth helps us overcome that. But look at the list. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. This is a great checklist to use as a weapon against fear dominating our lives. Take out your 3x5 card and your manual typewriter, if you can find one, and begin to put these words down. And then I recommend you stick it for a week next to your television. Stick it for a week next to your cell phone. Stick it for a week next to your computer. And just use it as a checklist. True, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. You see, we have an internal system that's a lot like what we say about computers. You know, with computers, when it comes to databases and equations and everything in computers, we say garbage in, garbage out. Anybody ever heard that? You know, if you put bad stuff in, all you're going to do is get bad stuff out. The computer can't improve upon it, okay? Garbage in, garbage out. I remember one time I was praying for a young woman who was dominated by fear. In fact, Skip, you were there that day, and I think some of the others were there that day, and we were up in Potsdam ministering maybe a couple of years ago. Remember that? You were there, yeah. Liz was there. Remember that? And a mom brought up a young woman who was just exactly where we were talking about, dominated by fear, captive to fear. She didn't just have fear, fear had her. And this mother brought this young woman up, and we were ministering there, and I began to pray for her. I asked what the problem was, and began to lay hands on her and pray for her and call on the name of the Lord to help her. And the Lord began to bring some help to her, and we were just about done, and she was just about ready to go back to her seat, and God said, tell her to stop watching all those horror movies. Garbage in, garbage out. All right? So I don't watch horror movies. I don't know much about them. Can I tell you a side story? This is free, no extra charge for this. When I went to Clarkson, I went to Clarkson University, one of the English teachers at Clarkson was a guy named Wesley Craven. He was a lowly English teacher. He was about as famous as one of the maple trees up there, okay? Nobody knew about him. Nobody knew anything. He was just an English teacher up at Clarkson. But the street that takes Route 11 kind of northeast out of the town of Potsdam, that street is called Elm Street. And Wes Craven used to get students together in a barn on Outer Elm Street in Potsdam and start doing little drama exercises. Anybody ever heard of Wes Craven and Nightmare on Elm Street? That's where it came from. That was just a little extra. You didn't have to pay any extra for that, okay? All right. So now, I don't watch any of those. I don't know about Nightmare on Elm Street. I've never seen one or anything else. But somebody name a horror movie that's a horror movie. I'm not hearing any. Somebody? Scream? Okay. See, I don't know anything. Okay, so Scream. Okay, so here's Scream. Okay, somebody that knows Scream, don't admit it. Don't put your hand up. But somebody that knows Scream, let's just do a test. Is Scream true? Is it noble? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent? Is it praiseworthy? Okay, here's the deal. If you think about that, you set yourself up for fear. Because you're violating every item on that checklist. You see, God says, I've given you a weapon to begin to monitor what you're dwelling on. I'm giving you a weapon to begin to focus on truth and these other things here, to begin to think on these things. Isn't that what it says? Think on these things in verse 8. Think about such things. Think about these things. Begin to dwell on these things. Begin to fill your mind with those things. And when you begin to fill your mind with truth, the truth will set you free. When you begin to set your mind on the truth, the lie begins to be broken. When you set your mind on the truth, you begin to overcome fear and begin to walk in a new victory. And now your head and your heart and your mind is filled with what is true and noble and pure and good and excellent. And you begin to overcome in Jesus' name. It's a weapon to overcome fear. So it's time to monitor our thinking and change the lane that we've been driving down. Again, make a little card with those words on it, and just over the next week, test your social networking, test your cell phone use, test your television watching, test your movies, test whatever it is that is getting your attention, because there is a weapon to overcome fear. And then there's a weapon, it's action. It says in verse 9, whatever you've learned or received or heard or seen, my Bible here says, put it into practice. The old King James Version right there in verse 9 says, do. It just says, do. My version is trying to be a little more polite, perhaps, and say, put it into practice. But do it. Now, here's the thing about this weapon. The weapon is action. The weapon is activity. The weapon is doing it. And here is why. God wired us in such a way that fear elicits in us a fight or flight response. Fear begins to work in us with electrochemical responses that get us to want to fight or flight, run or punch or do something. And it's begin to come into our mind and our hormones and our body and our muscles and our whole being and our digestive system and our brain, and it begins to come in and it moves us to action. But here's what's happening for so many of us. Fear begins to come alongside of us. Fear begins to challenge us, and we sit on the sofa. We can't understand why fear is getting the better of us when we're sitting there on the sofa not taking any action. But here is how God made us. When we know the direction, do it. When we know the direction, put it into practice. when we know the direction, get up off the sofa, begin to take action. If you have to walk and pray, if you have to take the dog around the block, if you have to go to the zoo and visit the snake, whatever you got to do, get up and move and run and go and move, because activity trumps anxiety. So begin to act, be active, begin to take action, begin to do something. And so here we see these weapons that are given to us in Philippians 4 to overcoming fear. We've got prayer, faith in Christ as a relationship, prayer and letting our requests be made known, with this attitude of with thanksgiving, the truth and that whole list, action and putting into practice. All the way from verse 4 down to verse 9, we have these weapons that we can pick up to overcome fear. Now, watch what happens. Watch what happens when we take these weapons and begin practicing them. Look what it says here in the book of Philippians chapter 4. Because something begins to happen when we take this seriously and begin to move in Christ. The first thing that happens, it says in verse 9, we stir the God of peace. The God of peace begins to get stirred for us and begins to move on us and for us and toward us. Now, this isn't just a little bit of peace. This isn't just a little bit of overcoming fear. This is the God of peace. This is the Creator God. This is the Sustainer God. This is the Saving God, the Healing God, the Moving God, the God of all creation, the God of all eternity, that is willing to take upon Himself the name and the title, I am the God of peace, and He begins to get stirred and begins to move on our behalf. The God of peace. I'll tell you, demons don't want to see the God of peace coming. The God of peace gets stirred on our behalf. There couldn't be anything that's more the opposite of fear than peace. And when the God of peace rises up, fear is banished in Jesus' name. He overcomes. He begins to set captives free. He opens the jail. He begins to change us and move on us. And there it is in verse 9, that the God of peace will be with you. Listen, we're going to dismiss in just a few moments. And can you imagine walking out the door, heading toward your car, knowing that the God of peace is with you as you go? Come on. Can you get your head around this? The God of peace will be with you. And then in verse 7, it turns this around and says, not only will the God of peace be with you, but now the peace of God is going to move. The God of peace is going to move with us, and then the peace of God is going to start working on us on our behalf. That instead of fear, the peace of God will begin to invade us and move upon us and help us. And then also in verse 7, there is a powerful military term used in the Roman army work that is this powerful word in verse 7. My Bible translates that word guard. Do you see something like that in your Bible right there in Philippians 4, 7? This peace of God that transcends understanding, it's beyond figuring out, it's beyond what you can stir up, it's beyond what you can imagine, it's beyond what you can create, it's beyond human ability. This peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This military term means that He is going to build a garrison. He's going to build a fortress around your heart and your mind. The peace of God will come and begin to surround your heart and mind and create a guard there, so that when fear wants to come in, it's repelled by the peace of God. When a demon wants to come and trap you in his snare, it's driven off by the peace of God. When a lie begins to come in and says you're not going to make it, you can't do it, you're not strong enough, you don't have enough money, you don't have enough education, you're never going to make it, that lie begins to come in and the peace of God dispels it in Jesus' name. That's what it says. It says the peace of God builds a guard around your heart and around your mind. A fortress that keeps invading fear from overtaking you. The peace of God that transcends understanding will keep and guard and watch your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Hey, that's pretty good stuff, isn't it? Come on, anybody read this verse? That's pretty good stuff, isn't it? That's pretty good stuff. And so when we pick up the weapons, then we release an amazing torrent of victory on our behalf. Something happens for us where God comes and brings great, great deliverance and help. I want us to jump to verse 13 that I read. And listen, if you don't get anything else out of today, get this, okay? Put this on your 3x5 card. Put this on your mirror. Put this on your refrigerator. Put this on your steering wheel. If you don't get anything else out of today, wake up right now, write this verse down, and you'll be blessed, okay? Somebody say yes. Okay. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Listen, when fear begins to invade, when fear begins to attack, when fear begins to put its grip on you, when fear begins to put you into a cave, into a prison, into a bondage, into a chain, you pull out this verse and you just say it right out loud. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want you to say it with me right out loud. Come on, let's go. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on, say it again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on, one more time. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when we begin to speak and confess that scripture in the face of fear, we begin to overcome in a powerful way in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, come right now in this place and begin to dispel fear. Lord, begin to come and set captives free right now. We put demons on notice that Jesus is Lord and Jesus is victor. We come right now in the name of Jesus and say, be gone. We come right now in the name of Jesus and we say, come and bring peace to hearts and minds right now. Jesus, come and cast out fears, cast out anxieties, cast out worries and bring your peace. We trust you for overcoming. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Pastor Rich, come on ahead.
How many of you would like to get freed up from fear in your life? Isn't that a great word? You know, the Bible says that you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. There's nothing greater than the word of God that brings truth and sets us free. You know, you can have people pray for you, you can do all these things, but when you start listening to the truth, it just cuts off those lies that the enemy has put on or you have put onto your life. And so how many of you say, you know what, I need to get set free from some fear in my life and I need to start obeying the truth? You know, Pastor Mike did a great job of portraying all the things that scripture says and the things that we need to do on our end, on our part, to be set free from this thing of fear. And that, I believe, and we're going to pray for people in just a little bit and ask God to deliver people from fear, because I believe that God doesn't want you to live in fear. He wants you to live in freedom and victory and peace, right? And so why carry around all this burden of fear all the time and live in this paralyzed state? God wants us to be free, and we're going to pray for you in just a bit. But how many of you will say, you know what, I need to take action on my part, and I need to obey what the scriptures have said through this teaching this morning? Would you just raise your hand and say, I need to start obeying these things? How many will say, I commit right now in the name of Jesus that I'm going to start taking this word to heart, not just hearing it, not just listening to it, but obeying and doing what it says? Raise your hand. Come on, I'm going to pray for you. God, I pray for every person with their hands raised. God, I pray that you would empower them to obey your word, not just to hear it, not just say, oh, that's a really great word, it's a great thought, but God, that they would obey it. God, we can't do it without your help. We need your power. We need your strength. God, help us to be obedient to your word, to look at things and say, is this noble? Is it true? Is it praiseworthy? And God, if it's not, to not allow it into our lives. God, I pray that we would be doers of your word, not just hearers. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, we don't want to close any service out without giving an opportunity for those of you that don't have a relationship with the Lord. So if you're here this morning and you are not right with Jesus, you're not right with God, if you died right now, you don't know if you would go to heaven or hell. God loves you, and he has a plan and a purpose for your life, and he wants to be your Savior this morning. He wants to come down and rescue you and save you from yourself, save you from the bondages that life can just put on all of us. He has saved me. He saved many people in this place. How many of you here have, Jesus has saved your life from going the wrong direction, and he's come and he's turned you around, right? And God wants to do it. God wants to do it for you too. If you're not right with the Lord, maybe you were right, you fell away, and you just kind of went your own way again, but God is calling you to come back to him this morning. And so with everybody's eyes closed and heads bowed, if that's you here in this place, would you just lift your hand high enough, long enough so I can see it, so that I can pray with you? Somebody's going to give you guys a packet in just a minute, too. If you just leave your hand up just for a second longer. And we're going to just pray with you. Anybody else? I need to get my life right with the Lord. All right, come on. I want to say this prayer with you. I want everybody to say this prayer for those that raise their hands. Say, Lord Jesus, today I come to you. I need to be saved. Save me from my sin. Save me from going my own way. It's self-destructing. God, I thank you that you love me, that you care enough for me, that you would come, die on the cross for me, so that I can be free, free from fear, free from sin, and so that I can have a relationship with you again. In Jesus' name, come into my heart. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give it up for those that just raised their hands. Listen, if you raise your hands and you didn't get one of those booklets, I have one right here. I would love to give it to you. It's just a little help to kind of get you walking in the right steps and how to have a relationship with God, and some scriptures in here that'll really help you. So please don't leave without getting one of these. And hey, can you all stand? And we're going to close this thing out. If our prayer team could come, this is what we want to do. We really believe that this service is really vital, that this fear thing, this is one of the devil's top tactics, is to fill us with fear. And God does not want us to live a life of fear, full of fear. He wants us to live a life full of faith. He wants us to be free from fear. And so all of us has experienced fear, but God doesn't want us to walk in it, like Pastor Mike is saying. And so if you struggle with this, I'd urge you strongly to not leave this place without coming and asking one of these guys to pray for you or myself. We want to pray that God would give you victory in this area. And please don't be ashamed to come up here, because all of us up here, and I know all of us up here, have struggled with fear at some time or another. And so God will help you like he's helped us. And we want to have the opportunity to pray for you. And even Pastor Mike will be up here around to pray as well. All right? So have a good week. And if you want to pray for that or anything else, please come and let us pray for you. Amen. God, I just pray that you bless your people this week. I pray that they would live a life of peace and not fear. In Jesus' name, for victory. Amen. Amen. Have a good week. And if you need prayer, please come.